Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, good evening, everyone. We welcome you aboard, one and all, as you're slogging through the rain. Ugh. As if we need any more reasons for terrible traffic throughout the DMV. Darkness upon us, and has been for an hour and a half, and pelting rain. Gonna take 2 hours to get home tonight. 35 miles. I'm calling it now, Brock. I'm calling it now. But it's a good thing I have a great Monday night football game to listen to here on The Fan. It does not get any better than this. The San Francisco 49ers, baby, at 2-7. And the New York Giants at 1-7. Oh, man. I mean, if that doesn't make your Monday night all hot and bothered, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. Yeah. Or you could watch the Wizards be down by 20 at the half to the Orlando Magic. Your choice. Good evening. We welcome you aboard, one and all. It is a short version of overtime. We're only with you for an hour tonight. We'll try and do our best to entertain you and keep you from going absolutely bonkers in said traffic again on this rainy Monday night throughout the nation's capital and beyond. Good to have you aboard with us. It is the Rooster, Chris Russell. Joe the Rooster Rooster. Whatever the hell you want to call me. I don't know. I don't care. JT the Vic on the other side of the glass. Broccolini still hanging out, doing his thing. Thanks to Big Shooter Chad Dukes for all the nice words. Appreciate that very much. Great event on Saturday night that we were all at for a great cause to stop soldier suicide. Some really good bands, some good brew, excellent location at the Tally-Ho Theater, where we've had 106.7 The Fan live. So, you know, of course, many people very familiar with that particular location. Had a blast, hung out with Landfill, hung out with Brock, hung out with Chad, Othello, just some really good, Drab, I mean, just, and some really good listeners. So appreciate everybody saying hello and being so kind. Really appreciate it. It was a fun night. I was supposed to be there for a half an hour. I wound up staying for 3 hours. So that should tell you everything you need to know. And more importantly, it was for a great, great cause. You know, a lot of the teams around here, I know the Capitals, the Redskins, they donated lots of great sports memorabilia for the silent auction. So, you know, as Chad talked about, obviously this event very near and dear to his heart, and on Veterans Day, you know, a lot of people say stuff and say we appreciate our veterans. You know, Chad's done a really, 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 really nice job putting this all together. And he doesn't, you know, of course, do it alone. I mean, he's got a lot of help from his family and his wife and, you know, all that stuff. It's really not a station event. It's, you know, so, I mean, he deserves a lot of credit for it. But more importantly, a lot of people say, you know, we appreciate our veterans. I say it. You know, I don't do anything other than I went to this event and I, you know, bought a ticket and I, you know, tried to help out wherever I could and support and whatever. You know, like Dukes, to his credit, has put his, you know, not only his support, but his time and his effort and his energy. So it was a really, really, really cool event. I wasn't able to go last year because I was out of town. And anything we can all do for our veterans, whether it be on Veterans Day, whether it be on Memorial Day, whatever the case might be, whatever the case might be, anything we can do is not good enough, right? Anything we can do is not good enough. So just a really cool event. And then the Redskins went out and won on Sunday afternoon on the Salute to Service NFL Day, which was good if you're a Redskins fan, not good if you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. And that's okay, because there's not many of those. Not certainly around in these here parts. But the Redskins did what they had to do, right? It wasn't pretty. It was ugly in a lot of ways. It was gnarly. It was, I don't know what way to really describe what we saw. Because in some ways, they had no business winning that game. In some ways. But in some ways, they had every right to win that game. Because here's the bottom line. We should all know this. You know, you can be effective and good, really good, 80% of the time, 80% of the way. But if you're not good or effective or solid or crisp the other 20% of the time, there's a good chance you're going to lose. That's right. You can be the better football team. Think about it like in terms of a pie, right? If you dominate in 4 out of 5 pieces of the pie, if you will, but there's still that one piece and you just leave it there and you don't touch it, well, you didn't get the job done. You didn't finish it. You came up short. You came up empty. And that's exactly what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did yesterday. And you know what? They didn't just do that on their own. The Redskins helped create that. So whatever we want to say about 501 net yards of total defense allowed, and that's not good. That's an eyesore. Statistically, that's horrible. But as I've said now on the postgame show, on the Junkies, on Grant and Danny, on Chad earlier, and I'll say it now, the Patriots have made a living on defense in the Bill Belichick era by giving up a bunch of yards outside of the 20-yard line. And sure, they give up touchdowns. Yes, they give up points. Clearly, today's not the best day to be making this argument after they got absolutely browbeat in Nashville. Maybe they were hanging out in Smashville too late on Saturday night at Luke Bryan's new spot. Who knows? But normally, the Patriots bend, and then they slam the door inside the 20, or they force a field goal, or they come up with a turnover on downs, or a stop, or something. It's not just Tom Brady, and it's not just Bill Belichick, how they win all these games and championships and make it to the Super Bowl almost every year. It is a philosophy of we give up a lot and then we slam the door. Well, that's exactly what the Redskins did yesterday. They said, we're not going to get beat over the top. We're not going to give you the lightning flash so that stupid pirate ship goes over and over again. We're going to tackle pretty well. We're going to play our young corner, whether it be Johnson or Stroman, 12, 13, 14, 16 yards off the line of scrimmage. We're going to make you go 7, 8, 9 plays, whatever it might be. Their one scoring drive that they ultimately scored on was a 9-play drive. And we're going to make you do it again. Wash, rinse, repeat. And you're going to have success. And you're going to move the football. And you're going to think that this is going to be the magic time where that stupid pirate ship is going to go off. And then we're going to slam the door right in your face. Now, I ask you this. Would you rather have a defense that did what the Redskins defense did yesterday? Again, 501 net yards allowed, which is egregious, too much. We understand that. But came up with 4 turnovers. Came up with the 4 turnovers. Came up with how many sacks? 3 sacks? Or was it 2? Ioannidis had 1, Preston had 1, and Casanova McKenzie had 1 that, for whatever reason, they didn't give him. Whatever it is. 2 sacks, 3. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Would you rather have that? Or would you rather have a defense I take you back to week two against Indianapolis, where the Redskins defense was dominant in that game. And I think they only allowed like roughly 290 yards of total offense. Yet they allowed three long scoring drives, and the Colts pushed them around and did whatever the hell they wanted to do on those three drives. And this was with Andrew Luck, who was playing in his second game in a year and a half. Would you rather have yesterday, or would you rather have the pretty numbers of week two, but give up 21 points and get carved up like a Thanksgiving turkey for three touchdowns? Because you know what would have happened if you would have been carved up and gave up three touchdowns yesterday? We wouldn't be talking about a victory Monday. We'd be talking about a 21 or 24-16 or whatever the case might be, loss. That's what we'd be talking about. So we could sit here and bitch and moan about the numbers all we want. And again, it's ugly, but I'll take 501 net yards, 3 points, and an offense that threw up all over themselves, and a defense that was opportunistic and jumped routes and made big plays and held on to it. Think about it. Norman, as much as he's driving me crazy with this fan stuff, what a play he made. What a read Stroman made. What a play DJ Swearinger made on that third down stop at the 5-yard line. What a great breakup of a long ball that was underthrown, yes, that ha-ha Clinton Dix made because he rotated over at the goal line. Think about that. Would you rather give up 501 yards and 3 points and create all these turnovers and induce a team into throwing up all over themselves? Or would you rather give up sub 300 yards like they did in week two to the Colts and get carved up like a Thanksgiving turkey and give up three touchdown long drives and not win? I think the answer is pretty obvious here, right? Now, that being said, before we take our first time out here on Overtime, and we invite your calls at 800-636-1067, it's hard to feel confident, super confident right now in the defense because of what happened against Atlanta and, again, what happened yesterday, which was good and bad, sweet and sour, right? There's a lot to work on, right? There's a lot to hang your hat on. There's a lot to work on. But I ask you this at 800-636-1067. Which unit of the Redskins do you have the most confidence in right now? And when we're talking about unit, we're talking about offense, defense, special teams, and for the purposes of our argument, the coaching staff. I'll call that a unit. I do a weekly report card for thefandc.com, which you can check out now. Again, at thefandc.com. It's up there. Trust me, it is. We do it every Sunday night. And I grade out each unit just like that. I'm not asking you to grade out each unit. I'm asking you which unit of the four do you have the most confidence in? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. This is Overtime on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. All right, we're right back here on Overtime. Short show tonight until 7:30. Monday Night Football, Giants and the San Francisco 49ers coming up at that point. So let's hit the phones. We're asking you, what unit of the Redskins do you have the most confidence in? And also, was the defense's performance yesterday, like, to me, I'd take that, what happened yesterday, over what happened week two against the Colts, if you remember. Sub 300 yards, yet, again, carved up on three long scoring drives. I'd rather have yesterday. I'd rather give up the 500 yards. I mean, again, you don't ideally want to give up 500 yards because if a team is executing really well, you're going to get blown out. But that's just the point. I'd rather take my chance, especially against a team like Tampa Bay, who's turnover prone. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's get to Ricky in Silver Springs. Hey, Ricky, on the Fan.
Hey.
What's up, Rick?
You know, I'm doing pretty good riding the rain out here.
Yeah, you ain't the only one out there, pal.
It's bad. those 500 yards, that was by design. You got to remember that. That was a prevent defense. So I'm not surprised the 500 was a bend and not break defense. So, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully we won't see that every week. But
yeah, no, they're trying to take away all the deep. Look, they adapt and play differently every week depending on the strength of the opponent. Just like last week, they got gashed on the ground, which they did give up some, you know, of course, on Sunday as well, because they were playing. They were.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Playing six defensive backs a lot. They were playing certainly nickel all the time last week against Atlanta, expecting an aerial show, which normally you would get. And Atlanta was just dinking and dunking, and everything was around the line of scrimmage. And then the Redskins would get blocked and blown up to smithereens, and they were giving up yardage on the ground. So, again, you can't take away everything, especially when you have a young secondary, or at least a young secondary on one side, and you're missing one of your top corners in Dunbar.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, as far as the strengths, I would also have to look at consistency. There's a couple units. And I can't go with the whole unit. I'm going to break it down a bit. I got to go with our punter and kicker. I can't say special teams because we haven't done much on returns.
Mm-hmm.
But our punter and kicker have been very consistent. We've used them as a weapon.
Yep.
Our safeties, I think Ha-Ha is only going to get better. Our safety play has been very good. Our defensive tackles have been very good. And I cannot leave out our running backs, including our third down backs and Adrian. I think they have been exceptional.
Yeah, good call. Appreciate it. And I'm right there with you on the special teams, and specifically about Tress Way and Dustin Hopkins. Listen, it's also the coverage, too. When there's been opportunities to cover, they have covered lights out as well. There have been many opportunities to cover. Now, they still have no return game at all, none. But and JT the Vic pointed this out pre-show, and I totally agree. I've made this point before. I'd rather have no fumbles and no return game than what happened last year when it was just a complete circus. Let's grab Krupp in Virginia on the Fan. Krupp, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, Krupp?
Thanks for having me on the show.
How are you?
Hey, one of the things that I've noticed is that when you don't notice something, it's a good sign because it means you're probably taking it for granted. And I'm opening with that because do you realize that whenever we have to punt the ball, I already know that the other team's not going to return it, and more than likely it's going to be downed inside the 20.
Yep,
it's
absolutely.
It's almost automatic.
Absolutely.
It's been phenomenal this year.
Since game three, it's been phenomenal. It was not good the first couple of games. Tress was kind of struggling and trying to find his way, but
correct.
He's been awesome since then. As a matter of fact, he was like second worst in the NFL through the first three games in terms of gross punting average, and right now he's like inching up the charts. He's middle of the pack, but in the last five games, he's averaged right around 49 in gross punting average, and the difference between his gross and his net is like a yard and a half, which tells you, A, he's doing a great job, and B, their coverage is doing a tremendous job as well.
Absolutely. And as far as the other working parts, you know, I am so excited about 6-3. It's way beyond what I was expecting at this point. However, it's tempered because I see room for a lot of improvement. You know, we've got these studs on the defensive line, but I was a little disappointed at the lack of pressure put on Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we kept pressure. But I just feel like we needed to break through a little bit more than we did on that.
At times, the pressure was there. At times, off the edge, it was there. It's a good call. I got to let you run. I appreciate it. At times, it was there, but it was there more off the edge. I need more interior pressure from Allen and Payne because Ioannidis is basically giving you a sack a game. He's always beating a dude for a sack. He's got 7.5 on the year. I need a little bit more out of Allen and Payne, quite honestly. So it's a good call. Appreciate it. 800-636-1067, top of the hour. More of your calls, reaction. We'll get to you on the other side. Which unit do you have the most confidence in? We'll have an offense question coming up just after 7 on the Fan. All right, thank you very much to the High Stars. So the Wizards and the Magic getting set. We'll keep you up to date for as long as we're on the air. Again, 7:30, we'll turn you over to Westwood One and the pregame coverage of Monday Night Football. I think you'll get to hear Tom Brady on the pregame show and have him explain why the Patriots got absolutely destroyed yesterday in Nashville. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody was that was counting the Redskins going down to Nashville just before Christmas as an automatic win, which was stupid. There are no automatic wins. None. At all. Period. None. Ever. And not in the NFL. Not with this team. Ever. That is far from an automatic win. Far from an automatic win. But they grinded out a win yesterday, and that's good. And they're 6-3, and there are some people that are very, very, very happy with that, and there are some people that are not so happy with that. And they're all making a concerted effort, some louder than others, to get you guys to go to FedEx Field this Sunday to pump them up, to get them going against the Houston Texans. Now listen, 80,000 loud and proud or 50,000, it ain't going to make a bit of difference if they play like they did against the Atlanta Falcons. Not going to make a bit of difference. If they play like they did against Tampa Bay, they're probably still going to lose. But at least they'll have a chance. You know, see, this is the problem with all of this fan talk and support and criticism of the fan base, is they act like having a sold-out stadium and a loud stadium actually impacts and changes the fortune of the game. At times it does. At times it does. But teams lose at home with sell-out, throaty crowds all the time. Execute better. And please shut up. Please stop talking. Please stop calling out the fan base, which has been abused for 25 years. Please stop. Thank you. I'll talk more about that tomorrow night, but please stop. Here's what I did want to add to the conversation over the next half an hour or so at 800-636-1067 is this. I've talked about this a number of times today and a little bit yesterday in the time that I had. I think the offense is not terribly far away from being effective. Effective. I'm not calling it good. I'm not calling it very good. I'm saying it's subpar right now. I think it can be effective. And maybe at times, if everything is clicking right, it can be pretty good. If they're not shooting themselves in the foot via penalty or drops, but specifically penalty, and if they can take a lead, if they can run the ball, there's a lot of ifs. But I think the offense is closer than I would guess most Redskins fans that are disgruntled, and many in the media believe it is. I think Jordan Reed is really close to being back to Jordan Reed. Again, I keep talking about this. Some of the routes that he's run shows me over the last 3-4 weeks, shows me, A, he's pretty healthy, which 9 games in is pretty amazing, and B, that he's close, if not right there. And I think Alex Smith and him are getting better chemistry-wise, cohesion-wise. On top of that, I think it's pretty clear Maurice Harris and Josh Doctson have developed a pretty good cohesion and chemistry and rhythm with Alex Smith. And I also think this. normally Vernon Davis and Alex Smith have a pretty good partnership. Yesterday, obviously, one bad misfire. You've got to make that throw if you're Alex Smith. You can't. Somebody tried to tell me that Vernon Davis slowed down. No, he didn't. Vernon Davis did not slow down. That's a bad throw by Alex Smith. Bad miss. And Alex Smith knew it. We've seen this over and over again. And that's the problem. That's the worrisome spot. But the opportunities are there. It's not like there are no opportunities. It's not like this is the 2001 Baltimore Ravens under Tony Banks, who went like five games without scoring an offensive touchdown and still won the Super Bowl. The opportunities are there. I think this offense is close to being fairly good. I think this offense is close to being what they probably need it to be, minimum, because it's not good enough yet. Is that crazy of me? Is that right? 800-636-1067. Let's get to Kevin in Alexandria, who I know has been waiting on for a while. Kevin, thank you for being patient. How are you?
Hey, all good. Thank you very much. Yeah, I totally agree that the offense is close. I think because of partially what you said, the penalties and the injuries and some timely things that just haven't quite been there, they're not the unit that I would say I'm the most confident in. You know, it's undeniable that the kickers have been there and they will be critical and crucial in key games down the stretch. But definitely the defensive unit is what we have to be the most confident in because of what they've been able to do in our victories and in keeping us close in the games that we have been close. Griffey, do you want to say something real quick?
No.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, my son loves the defense. He actually has a Kerrigan jersey and is going to his first game this weekend. So we're excited and fired up about the season.
All right. There you go. Have fun. Appreciate the call. 800-636-1067. Listen, the offense is not going to ever be a juggernaut, right? We all understand they're short on talent. They have a ton of injuries. We get it. We get it. We get it. All we want, all we hope for, all we can expect is if they can cut down on some of these offensive dagger penalties. I said on the Junkies this morning by like 25%, maybe. If Alex can find a way to make that one big throw per game that he keeps missing and has happened over and over again, that one big chunk yardage stretch play. It's a totally different prism that we're looking at this offense through. Let's get to our pal Ed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bladensburg on the Fan. Eddie, how are you?
So here's what I got to say. Number one, I think we all would say that the defense is holding this team together, so you're pretty confident about that side. I mean, four turnovers 1 week, and the other week I think they didn't even get a turnover, if I'm not mistaken. And then some weeks they get like two or three, and they're plus 11 in that category. So I feel most confident in that on that side. I do think the offense, it is close, very, very close. And the reason I say that is because I think what's happening is Alex Smith is throwing bombs to Vernon Davis when, and really and truly, Vernon Davis was so wide open by like 20, 30 yards yesterday. He didn't have to throw that ball so hard. He could have floated it to him and allow him to just, like, pretty much run slow and wait for it to get there. He was so open. I think he tried too hard, in a sense, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
To get it to him.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, so, and also I want to say, is it crazy for me to think that if we beat the Texans with the way that the Eagles' schedule is, where they got to play the Saints and the Rams, I think those two juggernaut teams that have offense that could beat them, to the point that when it comes down to week 13, the Redskins can lock the division up in Philadelphia. Because if the Philadelphia Eagles are 4-7, they cannot afford to lose that game at home. And if the Redskins win that game on the road, miraculously,
if they were to win these next two, they'll be 9-3, and there's no way for the Eagles to even get back to being above 500. You see what I'm saying?
But so that's, like, but that's a lot of things that have to happen. We would agree with that, right?
Oh, I definitely agree with that, and I just think that each week we look at this defense, we know that games that we aren't supposed to win are winnable. We weren't supposed to beat Green Bay, right? Mm-hmm. But we beat Green Bay. We weren't good in the first week of the season, but we beat Arizona. We wasn't supposed to beat Carolina, but we beat Carolina. The teams we're not supposed to beat that we have beaten, and that's why I don't understand why people are saying, oh, you guys got Houston next. I'm not really scared of Houston, to be honest with you, because the only thing I want to know is who's going to follow who, because we got Dunbar, Norman, you got Demaryius Thomas. And,
well, you don't definitely have Dunbar, and that's the problem. I mean,
we definitely not have Dunbar.
Well, because Jay said today they still don't know if he can run full speed. They still can't figure it out. He can't run full speed. That's the problem. They don't know what's going on with this nerve issue. It's just kind of a temperamental thing. And remember, nerve issues are weird. Like, there's no medical, like, kind of science that gives you a definitive timeline. These things are very, very,
There's
very
no medical
tricky.
Clearance is what you're saying.
Exactly.
There's no medical clearance really with it.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a little bit of an unknown. So we'll have to see. It's a very dangerous. I don't even worry so much about the offense of Houston, although I'm a little bit worried about that because of just what we talked about. It's more their defensive line and their defensive front against the Redskins. I know Bill Callahan did a great job this week. Every week is different. Tampa does not have the type of top-end talent that Houston does, and that's what I worry about the most. Appreciate the phone call, Ed. 800-636-1067. We'll come back, finish it up with a couple of phone calls. Again, short show tonight. We'll turn it over to the Giants and the 49ers. Monday Night Football pregame. Wizards up 8-6 down at Capital One Arena over the Orlando Magic on the Fan. All right, good to have you aboard with a short overtime show tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow night, 6:30. It'll be another short one, but a little bit longer tomorrow night, 7:45, because the Caps are in Minnesota. Minnesota. Caps got to get, heads out of their backside on the penalty kill. Woof, man, has it been bad. A lot of injuries, and obviously the Tom Wilson suspension, it is killing them. But they have allowed some 4 power play goals in the last 2 games to some bad, bad, bad power play units. Meanwhile, the Wizards trail now the Magic 14-13. Just as we were going to break, they had hit a big 3 to give themselves a 11-6 lead. And then just as we say that, of course, Otto Porter just knocked down a 3. So it is 16-14 now. Wizards halfway through the first quarter over at Capital One Arena. Let's finish up with some calls here on the Fan. Maurice is in Woodbridge. Good evening, Maurice. How are you?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
What's up, Maurice?
The team that gives me the most encouragement actually are the special teams.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
Every game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Because they performed in every game. I think the MVP thus far this season should be Tressway because he's put the defense in great situations all year. And then following Dustin Hopkins, probably the most consistent scorer on the team.
You know, it's interesting, though, and I pointed this out earlier, Tressway got off to a rough start. I forgot the exact number, but he was either second or third worst in gross punting average through 3 games. And all of a sudden, he figured it out. I don't know what kicked in. I haven't talked to him about it, but he just started booming it with accuracy and location. And as Jay said today, almost like drawing a 9-iron, and it's just been a work of art. You're absolutely right about the field position. And this is what I've argued forever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, not only does Hopkins boot everything into the end zone touchback-wise, or very rarely does he not, and make just about all of his field goals and a bunch of long ones, the Redskins ever struggled in terms of not only giving up big returns, especially punt returns, but also just what you mentioned, the field position. When a team starts at the 30 or the 35 compared to the 15 or the 20, just for argument's sake, and just using arbitrary numbers, Maurice, that's such a huge, huge thing.
It is. It definitely is. And as you said before, you know, everybody else, some of the players worried about the fans getting filled.
Yeah.
Just perform on all three levels.
Just perform.
And then, you know, that stadium will be packed.
And you keep winning games, people will come back. Trust me, people will come back. Bad experience, bad traffic, bad prices, bad everything, people will come back. But they don't realize that, you know, the team has been mediocre and average even for the last couple of years. It has been. It's been mediocre and average. Everybody wants, just because they're 6-3 this year, everybody wants everybody to fall in love with the team. Well, that's not the way it realistically works. Maurice, I appreciate the phone call. I got to let you run because we're up against it. We have time for one more. Let's squeeze it in here. That's a good call by Maurice. Appreciate it. Let's get to Mike in Leesburg. Mike, I got about a minute and a half for you. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Hey,
appreciate you taking my call.
What's going on, man?
No, not too much. Just short and sweet. I love how the team is playing this particular year because they're playing very smart. They're very careful. And like everyone else is saying out there, it's not pretty. You're not seeing a lot of Hail Marys and what have you, a lot of passing. But you know what? It's careful. And football is a technical sport. You get the wins when you get them, and how you do it is how you do it. And we stuck the other team last night. 3 points. Are you kidding me? We held up that well. I respect what the other caller was saying about the special teams. Yes, I like them. But I really, and I couldn't really answer when I was getting screened for this call as far as, you know, what was my favorite out of the four. It's like, you know what? I love my offense. I love my defense, or my offense more, because they're really learning. They're really gelling together. These guys are hungry, and they're playing smart, and they're being very careful. They don't want to make mistakes. They're being very delicate about it. And you know what? Maybe the wins don't look so glamorous and what have you. Who cares? It's a win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of like, you know, winning this country by General George Washington way back in the day. That wasn't pretty, but we won. That was the most important battle ever. And every one of these games I see is a battle. And these guys are out there, you know, fighting for their jobs. And they're fighting for the fans.
Yeah.
And I wish that we would support them more, because Santana Moss in the previous show was already commenting on, I forget the man's name that was talking about it, but yeah, you know, they need to support the fans, the role,
understand,
that home field advantage.
No, I understand that. I do get it, and I appreciate the phone call. I got to let you run because we're up against the time. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. I get that they need the support of the fans. I get that the louder the place is, the harder it is for an offense. I get all of that. I'm not saying that in a perfect and ideal world, that I don't want the place juiced and packed at 81,000 and screaming and impossible to hear. Of course you want that. Here's what I want. I don't want players calling out fans. They don't understand. They don't get it. They don't understand it at all. They don't get the frustration. They don't get the cost. They don't get anything. All right, thanks to JT DeVic. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. See you tomorrow at 6:30. Adios on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.